This week's guest, Derek Henry of Observe the 93rd. Derek, what's going on, man?
Not much. How's it going, guys?
Not too bad.
Woo,
thanks.
Woo, Derek.
I'm just going to do that with like every guest now. Ah, the crowd goes wild.
Well, now I don't feel special.
Well, I only literally did it last week with Jeremy Jones.
The guest that was it.
Jeremy Jones.
Yeah. Okay. He's kind of worth it. I mean, you're worth it. He's kind of worth it.
You're everyone's literally.
I'm sorry.
Verbally assaulting him. We're not even 10 seconds into this.
Yeah, I'm going to cry.
Jesus,
he's got alliteration in his
I want tears.
All right, this is going. How you doing, Derek?
Doing well, man.
We playing good cap, but good cop, bad cop right now? Is that what we're doing right now?
I'll fuck you up.
Okay, that's
beyond the cop. Uh-oh. We're losing sound.
Cool.
I won't touch you're not singing right now. You don't have to hold it. You just adjust.
Derek, I don't think I have to tell you this, but don't fucking cup the mic.
Don't worry about it. I got it.
Oh, my God. How you doing? No, aside from all the jokes. Good?
Yeah, man. Good.
Still training at the gym?
Yeah, I mean... Training, sure.
Training, yeah. Did you do boxing or something?
I was doing boxing, but it was a little expensive at the time.
Yeah.
So,
well, for sure.
I can only imagine.
I love it, like, though. I want to get back into it. But
how'd you get into that? Like,
There's a friend who goes out to my band shows and stuff, and she was like, I train all the time with this guy named Nate who does boxing. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I was very much like not. I wasn't in the gym. I wasn't training, but I liked boxing, like watching it, the old school stuff, like Muhammad Ali, Frazier, Ken Norton. And she was like, just come try it out sometime. And I was like, all right, because I was pretty depressed. So I was like, that's a good dopamine kick.
Absolutely.
And I got fucking addicted to it, like crazy.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I couldn't stop then. As soon as I started, I actually did boxing before going to the gym.
So
which is kind of a weird order. Like, usually people are, like, training and they have some muscle mass going on. I'm skinny now, but I was so much skinnier then.
You definitely put on some mass since I first met you, like, 6 years ago, something like that?
Right.
Oh, yeah. First. Oh, 100%, yeah.
I was a rail, and I had long-ass hair.
I remember that. So, I thought you were, how old are you?
I'm 27.
27, yeah. So you're, like, 2 years older than me, essentially. I thought you were, like, my age. I don't know.
I thought you were 27. You're not 27.
No, I'm 24. I'll be 25 in May.
Okay, so yeah, so I'm old.
You at my birthday?
How old are you?
No, you weren't at my birthday party.
Like I just said, I'm still the grandpa.
Okay, 30?
I'm 30.
Okay. Yeah, that's old. That's real old.
He got a letter from AARP the other day.
I did.
Oh, man.
They were like, hey, we need you to be the new spokesperson. Tom Selleck's got to go at some point, and we need another glorious mustache.
Do you have a bladder bag, like, taped to your leg?
Actually, no. I prefer to avoid that, and I just shit on the floor wherever I'm at, and wherever I'm at, they just have to deal with it.
Do you need, like, a guy who follows you picking up the feces? Because I'll apply immediately.
You know what? I need one.
We'll get there. We're going to get weird.
I need a shit scooper.
I fucking like it, and that's what I'm saying.
This isn't called Darker with Daniel for nothing.
So how long is it to get your fucking seeing eye dog in your stick?
So, fun fact, seeing eye dog... That takes like a couple months to train, like crazy enough. And
how are you going to train if you're fucking blind?
Well, I was like, okay, well, I'll use the stick in the meantime, right? Fucking back ordered like a year and a half. It's the craziest thing. They're like, well, sucks to be blind. I'm just kidding.
I like how in depth that joke got.
Yeah, he went way. Back order.
But all seriousness, like I don't think blind people like I don't think it's something we should joke about. But it was a very ill-tasted joke.
Yeah. Clearly, you do.
I actually volunteer on the app Be My Eyes, so I should probably.
Oh yeah, didn't we talk about that?
We did, yeah, and like I actually love doing that. So like,
didn't you? Did
all jokes
you guys
aside,
see the smart walking stick that just came out? Like I didn't read anything about it. I literally just saw a headline out. Yeah, somebody invented a smart walking stick that is like connected to Google Maps and Apple Maps, so that way it can like walk you around town and stuff, which is actually pretty
cool.
That's actually
brilliant. That's a $1 million idea.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to capitalize off the blind, great. Yeah, it's $1 million idea. I mean, where you just like take no profit.
If you put it that way, like you don't say you're capitalizing off the blind. I think the blind like would like to be able to go places without being like smack. Oh, I'm sorry. Smack. Oh, I'm sorry. Or they're like, I don't know. I'm not blind. So like, I feel like there has definitely happened where like a blind person has been like, oh, like when they're first learning how to use their walking stick, they're like, oh, I'm good. And then they just like walk themselves into a fucking corner. And they're like, wait. and then they're just
stuck.
So many
blind people are like, this kid doesn't know what the
Jesus
fuck he's talking about.
No, okay, but in all seriousness, this is the one question I want answered. And if anyone can put this in the comments or message us, how the fuck does a blind person know when to stop wiping?
I knew you were going to ask that. Why would you ask that?
I want to know. Like, are you just like, ow, that hurts really bad? And you're just like, all right, I should be clean by now. Like, I don't know. Like,
I feel like I kind of go that route.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't like look to be like, is there like stuff on it right now?
What? I definitely look.
No. No.
We're 4 minutes in, and all we've talked about is blind people and shitting, all right?
God damn it. I am
sign
so
of
sorry.
A good podcast.
That's
right
a fucking
there.
Great start. I mean, the energy's high. I'm all for it. But God, why did your mind immediately go to how does a blind person know when they're done? And how did my mind already know that you were going to ask that?
Because we're fucked.
Kindred spirits.
No, that's a good point.
He's probably been thinking about that all fucking day.
It's been longer than a day. That's a question I've wanted answered for a very long time.
Maybe they just all have bidets, and they're just like, it's been like 5 minutes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That makes so much sense. I would totally do that. If I was blind, I'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to wipe. I'm going to have my asshole cleaned by a turbo power jet thing. Hell yeah.
I don't think that's true at all. Because they have to line themselves up perfectly so that it shoots in the right
spot.
But
do they? Have you used a bidet?
No, but I'm aware of the mechanics.
I'm not. I've never used one. The only time it's ever happened is when I get like Neptune's kiss. And that's like a bidet for like a second.
Sorry, this one's just way more fucked up in the beginning than anything we've ever done in the past.
Yeah,
it's great.
I have that impact.
Wow.
You do.
It's crazy.
Oh, okay. All right, some Christopher Walken.
Yeah, that usually takes 15 minutes, and, well, this week it took 5.
He did that line of the coffee before the podcast. The,
yeah, I offered you a line, but you just didn't want to do a line of fresh Folgers.
We can only do that much energy.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'll reel it in, guys.
It's
fine.
No.
Guys, I get it. It's fine. I just,
we gotta have
I just thought we had a really
too.
Good thing going here, and I just.
Are you fucking, stop. Stop. No, everybody, stop.
Does he do this every time?
No, he doesn't. No. And I don't know why he's doing it this time.
Stop showing off.
It's just Derek. It's just Derek, all right?
Who would actually get mad at someone that's crying? You're like, Alan. Alan, does he do this often? No, he never does that.
I swear it's never like this, though.
You know, no, this week's energy is weirder.
Wait, have you guys met each other before?
I don't even know. He was in ethics, which I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
The and, fact that he knew that just makes me so happy. I'm just saying.
And we practice in the same storage units.
That's right. Because
like
I've come
units.
Over to both of your practices back right. when Chris was an Imperialist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, he was literally right across from us. So we would kind of hang out a lot in a way because we would... like go over to each other's units and be like, how's it going, man? And they'll play new shit.
Do you guys still practice there?
We practice here.
You practice here?
Yeah, literally this room.
Oh.
Oh.
Have you?
No. Have you been fucking with our shit?
You honey dicking us?
We don't touch anybody's stuff.
Nah,
I
always get worried that other people are going to touch our stuff.
Oh, so, well. Yeah.
Well.
But whatever.
Congratulations, it's not your stuff.
You were muted on that one, Chris.
I said the feeling's mutual, bub.
Bub. Dude, that it's so crazy though. It is funny because like you spent so much time there because you were hanging out with Chris and Imperialist, and then we were always there practicing, and it was just like
I was practically a member of Imperialist that did literally fucking nothing but hang out. Like
honorary member.
I went to I went to every single show, every single practice, and then that was basically it. I mean, Patty asked me to be your guys' tour manager at one point, but I was in the car business. I think we talked about this one.
We did, yeah. No, I don't think we talked about it on here. I think we talked about it like off the podcast.
Yeah, no,
but
Patty
yeah.
asked me to be the tour manager, and I was like, dude, I just don't have the fucking time for
dude,
that right now.
We wanted you to like come with us.
Dude, I wanted to so bad. I would have fucking loved. That would have been like a wet dream for me. Oh, my
have
God.
Have you booked bands before?
No.
Oh, you were just like, fuck it, I'll give it a shot.
We just wanted
well,
the extra
I'm
help.
A salesman, so like, I'm really good at talking and... kind of hence why I'm on. I have a podcast and stuff. Gotcha. Now,
I was gonna say, I was like, Derek, how do you think we went about having a podcast? None of us have ever done a podcast before, but we're like, oh well.
I thought Logan
we're
just
gonna
talked
it.
You into it.
No, yeah, no. we've been working on this for what 2 years now.
Yeah, like two and a half.
Yeah.
Oh
actually,
damn!
Wow.
So this what
was
been
it?
In
was
the
an
works.
Idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we used to do it at my house, and we actually. Turned my guest room into like a full studio at one point.
I mean, I remember kind of seeing that in your living room.
Yeah.
At a couple of your parties.
Yes.
And I was worried about all your equipment getting fucked up because the people there were not in good shape.
Oh, yeah.
Derek's too nice. He's like,
oh, my God.
At Danny's house. He's like, guys, get away from that. Guys, stop. Guys, you're too drunk. Stop. That's expensive.
The musician and Derek were just always worried about all of the mics and cables and everything. Yeah. No,
what kind of guest do you want, though?
Yeah, absolutely. No, when was the last? You haven't been at my house in a while.
I was there for, was it Labor Day?
The
one where I passed out on the couch.
Dude, that was probably the craziest party I've ever hosted at my house. My backyard looked like municipal waste. Like,
what?
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, I remember I woke up the next morning and somebody came up to my room and said, just don't even look outside. We'll take care of it. And I came out. I went back to sleep, went outside like 4 hours later, and there was like 9 trash bags full of trash on my back porch that had all been picked up from my backyard. That party went on to like 4 o'clock in the morning. I actually had to like send people home. I was like, guys, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. It's time to go. Labor Day is over.
I'm just jealous that you had friends that were like that, like considerate. Like when I lived in Steelton with my friend Dylan, he's my best friend Dylan. But we lived in Steelton in this like real rundown house, and we would have giant house parties. Dude, people were just assholes. Like we literally had so many people in the house at one point for this one party. I'll never forget this because I was just like, I was really drunk, but I was just also like amazed, probably because I was so drunk. But we had so many people in the house that we had the front door. You come in the living room, and then in that living room, there's the steps. So you go up and then turn right and go up. And at the top of the steps, you can make a right or a left. The left is my room. The right is just like the smoking room where everyone was in. There was so many people in the house that someone tried to go up the steps. And just the kinetic energy of them trying to push their way up the steps, It moved everyone else in such a manner that people in the smoking room, someone got pushed against the window, it shattered, and they fell through the window and out onto the overhang in front of our front porch.
Were you that person? Was that?
Oh,
you?
No, I was not that person. I just heard the crash. I was like, what the fuck? And everyone was just like, what the fuck's going on? I was like, I don't know. I heard something crash. Dude's fucking laying out on the fucking overhang with a bunch of glass in him, and he's like, oh, this is great. And I was like, we have too many fucking people in this house. Like, people gotta go. Like, this is insane.
Jesus Christ.
But like, you had people Steelton? Yeah, that was in Steelton. But you had people like, oh, you're the host, hey, thanks for having a great party. You know what? Don't even worry about the backyard. We'll clean it up. Came downstairs and our house was fucking destroyed.
Oh, trust me, I've had plenty of parties like that where my house is just trashed the next day. I mean, that same party, was that the same party where my window got broken? Do you remember?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Like my front window got broken. Nobody ever admitted to it. Like, yeah, I was actually like a little bit upset about that one because I spent a lot of money on that party. I probably spent like $500 on that party for alcohol and food for everybody. And then somebody broke my window and I was like, look, I don't care if you broke it. Like, just please help me pay for it. You don't even have to pay for the whole thing. Like, throw me $50 maybe. And nobody ever admitted to it still. So.
Oh, that's fucked.
Yeah, it is what it is.
That's why I came on this podcast.
You're going to give us the dirt?
No, I was going to say it was me, but it wasn't.
Yeah, that's what I was going to
say. You know who would say that it wasn't them?
The person who did it.
Yeah.
It sounds exactly.
But I don't think they would joke
very
that it was
self-incriminating, Derek. Very self-incriminating. Yeah,
Chris, is it just me or does Alan kind of sound like a cop right now?
He always sounds like a cop.
God damn it.
Alan, are you a cop?
That's not a thing.
If you're a cop, you have to tell us.
No, I don't.
By law.
It's not a thing.
Hunter, can you look that up for us? Okay, thank you.
I will.
So immediate. Like, I'm telling you, it's not a thing. Like, how do you think they trap people? Like, you think the people undercover, they go like super deep in and they get in with like the Hell's Angels and like, you know, if you're a cop, you have to tell us. They're like, ah, you got me.
Sounds exactly
like
what a cop
swiper.
Would say.
It sounds exactly
swiper,
like
no swiping. Oh, man. I never understood that shit.
I don't know. See, at that point, they don't have it on record. Maybe the cop lied. Maybe it was a dirty cop.
Just because he lied to keep his cover unblown, that makes him a dirty cop?
In some people's eyes, yeah, probably. I don't know. I like cops. I've never had a bad experience.
Yeah, me either.
I mean, I had like...
Not to lie, I had one bad experience.
Closest thing I had to a bad experience with the police, Hunter, you were there for it. We were like, what, 12 or 13. We made potato guns and we were shooting them off in our backyard. And we're Hunter's backyard more so.
Yep.
To be fair, it wasn't us that made them. We were little kids. Hunter's older brothers and his friends made the potato guns and were shooting them. And we decided to go out and join them. And some lady with a fucking lap dog in a Cadillac pulled up and was like, "Oh, that's what all that noise is. Blah 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 blah. Like, you guys are shooting this fucking thing. I'm calling the cops." We're like, "Do it. We're not doing anything wrong."
I don't remember them being loud. It was that loud.
Potato guns?
I mean,
oh, wait,
they were very,
I was thinking of
very
something
loud.
Else.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I'll say they're very loud.
We were not... also shooting baseballs out of them, so.
No.
Oh, well, that's a different
balls.
Story.
Now, did we shoot a baseball? I don't remember
we
that.
We did, absolutely, because we put them in golf sleeve, like the golf socks that go over golf gloves to
CO2
make it seal.
Yeah.
No, it's static guard. You spray static guard in, and then you click like a
like
barbecue
a
igniter.
So I'm just learning that there's apparently different models of potato guns, because I have definitely dealt with CO2 ones, but you're talking about spraying static guard.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
But
years later, I made one with PVC piping and a taser. I got a taser and like got some speaker wiring, hooked the wires up to the speakers,
wow.
And then hooked those wires up into some metal screws. And
I'm just going to be the one to go on record here and say this. I think we just thought of a great podcast episode. We're going to try all the different models of potato guns, and we're going to see the effects it has on the human body.
Right. That's really
have
life
not
insurance.
A good idea.
So it's a great idea.
Back to, the lady goes off, calls the cops, and then the cops actually show up, and this dude was just fucking pissed. Like, he was in a bad mood. If I'm not mistaken, he got suspended like 2 weeks after that, didn't he?
He did, yes.
Yeah. And, I mean, he just showed up, started just ripping into all of us, and he's like, "This is fucking illegal, blah, blah, blah." We're like, "Look, we're just hanging out on our own property, shooting a thing that we made. Like, this is not illegal at all. We have all the right to do this we want." And I think he ended up giving two people citations, correct? He gave Nate one and your brother.
Yeah.
Gave out two citations.
Like $285 or something.
Yeah, and then put the loaded potato gun in the trunk of his car.
He just wanted it. And
he sold
it
at
he's
the
like,
flea
we're
going to
shoot t-shirts with this at the
flea market.
Oh, he's my like, God. My kid's going to fucking love this.
That was a Christmas present.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Actually, I went to high school with his nephew, I found out eventually. I was like, "Oh, you're an officer. Can't say his name. You're his nephew." He's like, "Yeah, he's a fucking dick."
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Doesn't
all
even
right.
like his own uncle.
Sounds like a bad uncle. You're supposed to, if you're an uncle, you're automatically supposed to be like the cool uncle. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
you should try to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm an uncle.
Are you
I'm
the
not.
Cool uncle?
I'd like to think I am.
Or
I thought my
the
niece.
Only uncle?
No.
Okay.
No, I taught
oh,
my niece
wait,
how to
no,
say
I
Saturdays.
That.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
I know
you've
that.
Met my niece, haven't you?
No, I'm saying I know your brother.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, no, my niece, I taught her how to say Saturdays for the boys. I'm pretty excited about that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Of course.
Sick.
Absolutely. So how's, you said you've been busy with a lot of music lately and stuff, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, playing lots of acoustic shows and stuff.
Yeah, that's more like solo, right? Or is that?
Oh, yeah, that's all solo okay. stuff. I mean, it's not like my passion, but it's much better than, I was working at an insurance firm. So I was, my soul was draining out of my fucking body.
I worked in insurance.
You did?
I did. I was a claims adjuster for Progressive before I was active duty.
Okay. So I was just in the call center working on general liability claims and workers' comp.
God.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Thrilling.
I know. I feel all of your pain.
Yeah. So I was like, I can't do this another day.
No.
So booked a bunch of acoustic shows. I play like 3 or 4 of those a week. So much happier.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you, wait, so
I mean,
you're doing this like full time?
Yes.
Oh, like you quit your job and you're playing shows
oh, yeah.
full time.
I don't have any benefits, so if I get hurt or something or sick, I'm fucked.
Yeah, that
yeah, that.
I don't suggest it, but like,
oh my God,
much happier.
Wow,
but
that's
as long
really
as I'm
cool,
not sick
though.
Or like, dying, just, I'm happy.
Yeah,
you're
right?
a full time musician now. I yep. didn't know that.
That's
yeah.
sick.
That's
dude.
Awesome.
You're literally living the dream.
It's nice. It's awesome.
When are you playing at Frats again next? I need to come see.
I
you
don't have anything booked, but that's kind of like whenever I hit him up. He
yeah.
throws me a date, so probably yeah,
I,
soon.
I know he's always like.
He's super nice.
He's oh he's
super he trains
nice.
Too.
Yeah, yeah, he does. Yeah, Bo's like
yeah.
a really good friend of mine. I was at his wedding and everything. I sold his wife a car whenever I was in the car business.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
cool.
well, I've been going there for a long time, but every time you are booked there, he's like, "Derek's booked this weekend. I'm really excited." Blah blah blah. I mean, not
yeah.
trying to, yeah, but
no,
yeah,
he's super nice. I like him.
He is. Cool. Everybody here knows Bo.
Oh yeah.
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 When I was first about to play there. I had never even, I'd been there a couple times with you guys.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But I had never really been, like, downstairs, because we would always go right up those steps.
To the deck.
But when I was first playing there, I posted it on the internet, and people literally messaged me, like, 5 people. They were like, "Good luck, man. Like, that crowd is rough." And they were like, the last guy who played there last weekend, some guy just started beating the shit out of him while he was playing because they didn't like. He played Post Malone.
What?
Apparently, I don't know I don't know if that's true.
Uh huh.
But yeah, so I showed up expecting people to just rip into me. All the nicest people. Like, yeah. It's super chill, super cool.
Well, right? I mean, like, let's be honest though. Like, and this isn't even me being like, that. Like, dude, you're a phenomenal fucking vocalist. Yeah. So, like, I don't think you have to worry about playing anywhere. Cause, like, just to put it in the context, I remember one time when I was in ethics, we were talking to you. And I was like, yeah, dude, like, we're looking for, like, maybe adding on, like, a clean singer.
I remember
and
that.
You were like, yeah, dude, like, yeah. I would love to join, like a sound like that and add my voice to it. I literally went back to my band. I was like, guys, do you know who might join the fucking band? And they were like, you know, like, it's like the stereotypical, like, comedic, like, the guitarist is, like, tuning his guitar and the drummer's just doing nothing. And I'm like, who? And I was like, Derek fucking Henry. And they were like,
who?
No, they were like, shut. Like, all of them were just like, shut the fuck up. I was like, I'm not kidding. Dude, like you're known. Like,
but you motherfuckers never hit me up.
What are you talking about? Yes, we did.
No, you didn't.
Oh, we most... I will literally go through my fucking Facebook messages right now. You stopped responding.
Really?
Yeah. But to be perfectly honest,
look,
you were like...
Let's settle this
it.
With a good old-fashioned round of rock, paper, scissors.
That's all right. Nothing.
Says you.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. It's best 2 out of 3 every time, okay. And it's on rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Okay.
Getting sweaty?
All right. A little bit.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
All right.
Oh, all right. That's all right.
Winner gets a kiss.
A kiss from
Chris.
Who?
Chris.
From Chris?
Yep.
Yes! Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. You stopped responding, you bitch!
All right. Well, now you get a kiss from Chris.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Are you fucking jealous? I fucking will. And I want you to watch. I want eye contact.
You can stay over there.
For audio listeners, Alan won, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I did. I did win. But no, in all seriousness, though, I honestly don't remember if you stopped responding. I just remembered. I just know, like, it just never happened, and we just stopped communicating then, whether it was you, whether it was me. But right. I know we were really busy at that point, and you were really busy at that point, because I think that's when Dead started, like, really taking off. And, like, I was like, you know, like, I'm not even mad. Like, I understand. Like, this dude is, way out of my league, like, band-wise. I was like,
oh, no. God.
You go, Derek.
Do you remember the first Dead show when I got really fucked up and jumped up on the stage with you?
I loved that. That was such a good show.
I still
so
cringe
fun.
At that at myself because I probably sounded like garbage.
Dude, I love that you were kind of there whenever the whole Dead idea started. That was whenever I met you.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Logan and I were recording the first Observe record, and I was like, I want to cover Jewel at the Fed Live Halloween show.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were sitting there listening to a playlist and MyChem came on. And I was like, dude, this is one of my favorite bands of all time. He was like, we should do this band at Fed Live. And that's how everything started. And you came over to the studio and we went to Denny's or something. Remember?
Oh, my God.
And we were jamming.
Wait.
Welcome to the Black Parade.
Yes.
In the car.
Do you remember what happened to Logan and Denny's?
Oh, yes.
Yes. It was whenever those...
I'm not talking about it.
Maybe we shouldn't.
No.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't.
Okay.
It was fucking hilarious.
For off camera.
We'll talk about it off air, but let's talk more about this. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Sick.
Back. So, My Chemical Romance. So,
that's it. Goodbye, everyone.
Yeah, bye, everybody.
Have a good one. Thanks for tuning in.
No, we actually talked about their reunion tour that they announced. We talked about that a few episodes back. We're really excited. Are you going? Or
I'm not. I really wanted to. I planned on it when they posted it. To be honest, I haven't been to many live shows. It doesn't interest me as much as them releasing new material.
Okay.
So when they had that whole like hype video come out, the summoning, I was stoked about it, but I was hoping it would end with like, here's a new record.
Mm-hmm.
I want a new...
You want new music.
I want a new record to listen to and jam and obsess over. It's cool. I'm glad they're active. It's so much better than nothing.
Uh-huh. Agreed. So I can kind of agree with you on that because I'll be honest with you. There are some times where I've gone to like shows and I'm like, honestly, this is cool, but am I really having the best time? I'm surrounded by people.
I'm straight up not having a good time.
the band... More so goes for bands that aren't good live, I guess, but I can kind of see what you're saying about that.
I just always feel this weird thing. I don't think maybe it's a little bit of ego thing. I don't know. I'm just always, when I'm at a big live show, I'm like, I want to be up there. I don't want to be in the crowd.
I know exactly what you mean. Like, for being a vocalist, like, I know, like, when you watch another vocalist, and, like, especially if they're doing a really good job, you're like, fuck, like, just, like, let me have the mic for, like, 1 second. Like, just let me do, like, my thing. Just let
that
me have
so
a little bit.
Backwards, too, because, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because you would think it would be, if you hear someone who's not talented, you'd be like, let me show you how you do it.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, you just That's get inspired.
Point. You do.
Like,
I need you to show me how to do it one of these days. I need you to help me out with some vocals one of these days.
You definitely have natural talent.
Yeah?
You send me some Snapchat
have
clips
I?
And stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I have. That's right.
Some songs you're working on.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I told you
that
for Tellies.
That's right. We did talk about that. We did. I actually just redid this guest bedroom studio in my house again this past weekend.
I saw it.
Now it's more vocal or more geared towards like music and stuff. So you should come by sometime, man. Check it out.
Let's do it, man. Let's do something acoustic or
dude,
just random.
Yeah.
Write some stuff on the spot.
I'm down with
be
that.
Fun.
Dude, if Observe the 93rd ever wants like a screamer for any song, like, dude, I'm there. I got you. If you guys ever want to just drop A sharp just randomly for like one song, that'd be sick.
I mean, we'll throw some screams in our stuff now. We
Drop C. Ooh, I like Drop C. Drop
C is
good.
Drop C
is so universal. Like, you don't really. It sounds fine without needing like a 7-string guitar. Drop A sharp, like, it's better if you have a 7-string guitar, or if you're just throwing like thicker gauge, like lower E strings.
I do want to get a 7-string just for like studio stuff. But back to MCR. So you did say you wanted a new album.
Yeah.
All right. I'm kind of conflicted on that. I'm going to be honest. I liked all of their albums up to Danger Days. Their last one, to be honest, I honestly couldn't even give it.
I'm not a huge fan of that either. I don't sit in my room listening to Danger Days.
I don't either. Now, like, when Sing comes on, I'll fucking bang out to that. That one I'll fucking bang out to. Yeah. Like, Vampire Blood, that album's good, I think, but the album after that, their last one, I just couldn't even get into it enough to give it an honest chance. And one thing I said about them before was that I'm honestly slightly glad that they stopped before they just started pushing out music to push out music.
Oh, yeah.
That was just no longer good. So, in your opinion, do you think that a new My Chemical Romance album would actually be any good?
I think, let me start backwards a little bit.
Okay. Yeah,
I think they kind of got to that point at Danger Days where they were just like trying to release something for the sake of releasing something.
Mm-hmm.
It was far less introspective. It sounded more like escapism music as opposed to like confronting something.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's a good point.
But I think enough time has gone by where I think they already have a record written.
You think so?
Because they have all this imagery and like symbols and such, and they're being very cryptic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you don't do that without having like a plan behind that.
They're really doing that just for a tour? Maybe. They're very over the top in theatrical.
I was gonna say they did dick tease us a few years back whenever with the like the 10-year anniversary of Welcome to the Black Parade.
They probably had all this planned like back then.
You think so?
There's references. Dude, this sounds so like obsessed fan.
No, dude.
But there's like references and stuff.
Yeah, you're good.
In Danger Days to coming back in 2019, which is when they had their first return show.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Wait, so
Danger Days is set in 2019.
What?
But I will say this.
How did I never pick up on that?
I will say this. If they come back, I don't want it to be related to Danger Days in any way.
I want it to go back to old shit.
I want it to evolve, but be more in that vein of like Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not okay.
So are you talking about like more so like the genre? Because their genre,
just the feeling, just introspective and angsty and
kind
emotional.
Of solemn.
I would say raw. Like their old stuff. Like, dude, I don't think,
and heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Like, I don't think. It's hard to say. So, like, I'm not a diehard My Chemical Romance fan. I haven't ever been, but I've always loved them and respected them because, like, they are so talented. But I'm with you guys, especially on the newer shit. I never liked them. But, like, the Black Parade, I think that was probably, like, MCR's, like, most, like, perfectly composed sound. Like, but then you listen to, like, I'm Not Okay, and to me, that is, like, the perfect, like, relatable and realistic like emo kid that like we're gonna start a band and we're gonna write about shit that like everyone that is like us feels, and it it just feels so legitimate. Like, you can 100% relate to that. Like, just the stupid little shit with me and Chris were singing this at fucking HMAC. That song came on, and he's like, I'm seriously not okay, or whatever. And there's like that one clip like in there. It's so relatable. It feels so real. So I would love to see like what you're saying. Like, take the evolution. Like, take that raw emotion and take that perfect composition of the Black Parade, combine those, and evolve that. Now, obviously, easier said than done. But that's what I would like to see from them.
What do you guys think that My Chemical Romance is different, though? Because there were so many bands writing music about... Like, the whole emo phase was a giant thing about depression, people not being okay, and stuff like that. There's a lot of bands writing songs about that at that time. What do you think set My Chemical Romance aside?
His voice.
You think it was his voice?
And his style. Like, because he'll go from just doing, like, perfect, like, clean, like actually, like, writing a chorus and having a melody. Then he'll be like, take a good hard look! And just go, like, right into that raw shit. And, like, no. Like, you had, like, if you took that away from My Chemical Romance, you seriously just had, like, a more punk-style 30 Seconds to Mars at the same time frame.
That's a good comparison. Like,
What do you think?
It's definitely his voice, but the whole... They're more honest. And authentic,
yeah.
I think it's like brutally honest,
rather than poetic.
They're very poetic. Too. I mean,
it's definitely poetic, but it's just far more visceral in this primitive expression.
Mm-hmm.
And his voice, he does not focus on like being a singer. He focuses on the emotion. I think,
mm-hmm.
not like someone like Beyonce is like an incredible singer, one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
But she sounds like a singer, like she was. Trained.
One thing I was taught when I was in like chorus in high school was chorus teacher would always say, go for the note over the word. Where I think Gerard Way would go for the word over the note. He wouldn't even do that. It's like he would get those R's in there where like mm-hmm. an R is kind of hard to hit the right note on it, and you just have this harsh R in there.
See, I don't even think he thinks about that because he's just emoting.
Yeah.
Whereas other people will think more about their vocals, like, okay, make sure you hit this note. I want it to sound in this sort of style, hit clean there. I feel like he's just feeling and expressing.
And just getting the emotion out, just
right.
pushing.
Yep. However it comes out.
Yeah, that's a solid.
So not hyping myself up like in any way, but like I think. Like,
I mean, you are.
No. It's like, Derek, have you ever done this? Like, because when Ethics recorded Devoid, the last song that we put out there, honestly, when we got to the recording studio, again, Paul Dennis. I'm going to put the name out there. He's great. We talked about him on the last episode. He's fantastic. We're allowed to if it's a good thing. It's positive. So he's great. But when we got there, all the instrumental was written, and the lyrics were like half written because the song is about it's about an ex that it was still like kind of like a painful thing emotionally. Like I was past it, but when it came to the writing part, it was hard. So that's why I wasn't as far. So it came down to like it was time for me to do my recording, and I'm like, fuck, I don't have it. So I literally went in the one room, like everyone else was hanging out, and I isolated myself in the room, and I was like, I forced myself to like feel whatever it was that I was feeling. I finished the lyrics, and then I came out and I was like, all right, I'm ready, like we need to do this like now. And Paul's like, okay. And so we started going, and I literally just let like all the feeling that I was feeling, because like I literally put myself emotionally back in like the state of mind that I was, that the song was about, and I let that come through my lyrics. And I think that's not just because it's a song that like I wrote, but I think it's my favorite song because it's the truest and like rawest like song I ever did, because I did not focus on like, I want to sound clean here. Like I want this scream to sound dirty. Like, no, I literally just focused on, I wanted it to encapsulate the emotion, and that made me so much happier. So I honestly could not imagine being someone like Gerard Way, where that's like your entire way. Cause I agree with you. I think that's exactly what he does. Fuck. Like that would take such an emotional toll on you. Like, I don't know how you could ever isolate or compartmentalize the fact that you're doing it from music and then just not letting that bleed over into your real life and just constantly staying depressed if you're writing songs like that. Like, yeah. I wouldn't be able to do it. I know I don't have the emotional or mental capacity to do that.
That's a really good point. And Gerard Way definitely went through a lot of shit mm-hmm. with that. One thing I did want to ask, though, because we're running low on time, Chris is going to fucking kill me. But I did want to ask, we were kind of talking about before we went to break. I wanted to come back to that real quick before we wrapped up. So you and I, we met, 6 years ago? It was right before you guys started Dead, right?
Yeah. Well,
right around the time you guys started Dead.
So that would actually be, 4 years ago, because that was 2016.
Oh, fuck, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was only four. I've only known you. It feels like...
I know.
It feels so strange. Much longer. Wow.
That's good. It means strange. We're living life, man. Yeah,
that's true, man. That's true. So that was when I met you. Now, and we were kind of off air talking about Observe a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me the history on it? Because I've actually always been curious as to
how the band formed
and everything like that.
Yeah,
I've actually curious about that.
So Dylan Zepp, the drummer, we played Pee Wee football together, like I said, when we were 9 years old or something.
Mm-hmm.
But then that ends and I didn't see him at all. We went to different schools. Cumberland Valley High School, then we meet again. Mm-hmm. In 10th grade, and I had started playing guitar the previous year because I got a guitar for Christmas, and I got to the point, I immediately, as soon as I started playing, by the way, wanted to write. I didn't want to cover songs or anything. I just started writing.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next year I was I'm ready to have a drummer with me and stuff. He was drumming or something in a study hall, and Tyler told me about it. He was like, I think he would be a great drummer. He seems like he can play just by his desk drumming.
Oh, my God.
And I was very skeptical. I was like, I doubt it.
You're like, I've been playing guitar for a solid year now, and I doubt this drummer can even compete with me.
So conceited.
You can learn a lot in a year, though.
You can.
Yeah, I didn't even know how to intonate my guitar or anything. So I was, the first couple years that Dylan and I were jamming, it was all out of tune and shit, I'm sure. But so I eventually talked to him. We started jamming at his house every day after school, all day during the weekends. His dad would actually make us chop wood and shit.
Oh, my God.
For hours to earn our practice time.
Is he Amish?
What?
No.
No, that's awesome,
you,
though. That's an awesome story.
No, he's awesome.
Awesome, yeah.
So we would show up and we would cut wood and stuff for hours and hours. And a lot of times then it would be too late to be loud. So his dad would be like, sorry, guys. Thank you, though, for cutting all the wood.
What? That's super fucked.
It's so funny, though.
Just exploiting your labor. Oh,
right.
My God.
So then we're jamming and stuff. Tyler has always been a best friend. He's my cousin. So I was like, you should really get a bass or something and start jamming with us. So he did that. A couple years go by with us just jamming. I meet Elliot. We started hanging out in senior year of high school, and I was like, you should get a keyboard. So then we all started just jamming together. That was it.
God damn.
Yeah.
And now?
Now it's just Dylan and I. So the two that I was like, you should pick up insurance.
You should go buy really expensive things. Didn't work out.
Yeah. But oh well, we're all still close, still buds.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Tyler and I are family.
Yeah, exactly.
So that far transcends a band.
Nice. Do you guys have any shows coming up? I'm just curious, I guess. More so, I haven't got to
Observe?
Ask. Yeah.
We're playing at XL Live on the 29th of this month for the Millennium Music Conference. Which is always fun. I like that event.
See, we played that, and we got put at the Champ for Millennium Music Conference, and we were like, wow, there's nobody here. We were the headliner. For that, and so we were like, all right, sick, we're gonna be the headliner. By the time it was time for us to go on, I was so livid because there was five people, and I was like, dope.
Are you gonna have tickets for that?
Oh, it's not a ticket thing.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure it's free.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, shit. Okay, I was gonna say I'll buy tickets, but damn. Well, that's awesome though. Thank you for giving us the history on that.
I will say
that
all of our first shows were at the Champ.
They were, yeah,
and
for sure.
They were fun.
I miss the Champ, honestly. Because
back
sometimes.
In the day, it was a whole vibe.
When the
it
Champ was
a culture
was the
thing.
Yeah.
Because when you have shows now, a lot of times, I won't say a lot of times, but a lot of people do come out because they just want to drink and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
All the kids there, there's no bar or anything at the Champ. Mm-hmm. It was just a bunch of underage kids coming to jam the fuck out.
Yeah. And punch each other in the face. And it was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
But we had pit respect. I think that's the thing that I talk about all the time. I'm only going to hit this for 10 seconds. But pit respect. Every other venue I've ever been to, you go to the pit, someone gets knocked down, someone gets knocked the fuck out, and all their shit comes out of their pockets, people will either A, step on it, steal it, or just fucking kick it somewhere else. At the champ, there was pit respect. Like, you saw that you were going to hit someone in the face, and you saw it was going to happen, so you would pull that punch because you weren't actually there to hit them. You were there to show off your moves. Or if you did hit them, you immediately picked them up. And I remember so many times, this happened so many times, people would be in the pit, people would like lose their wallet, lose their glasses, lose whatever. But it's the breakdown. The band doesn't stop playing. The show goes on. But people, whoever found them, as soon as the pit was done and it just goes right back into the chorus, whatever, people would literally pick up whatever they found and just hold it in the air. Just held it in the air and let people come claim it. I have never seen that kind of shit anywhere else. And I've seen shows like all over the East Coast, and only the champ, only 717, like Central PA, had that kind of respect for one another. And that was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. I aside from like the whole pit thing, I just thought that the champ just had, like you said, it's just its own vibe to it. Like, everybody came there for the music, mm-hmm. to have a good time. It didn't matter what kind of band was playing. It just, everybody went to be a part of it.
I mean, I get it. It was an absolute shithole. Like, it's a warehouse, like under an underpass, but the intentions behind the people going was so pure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, you could just meet, I don't know how many people I've met from there I'm still friends with today.
Yeah.
Where you just walked outside and you're like, hey man, can I bum a cigarette? And the next thing you know, you're talking for 20 minutes and you've made a lifelong friend.
Right.
And
ABR started at the champ, didn't they?
Yeah, I saw
that. That's where
there.
They got their big yeah. break was the champ, like, because they
I
signed
got
the CI
fucking
Records.
My nose broken yeah. seeing them there.
Dude, I went there because An Early Ending was opening for them, mm-hmm. and it was so packed. I was just there by myself, like, just fascinated by this scene. And I saw a kid get up on stage and stage dive during ABR.
Come in the mic a little bit. Sorry.
He was stage diving during ABR, and he disappears into this, like, sea of people and pops back up beside me. His shirt is ripped in half, and he had a bloody nose. I was, like, 13 years old, and I was like, holy shit, that's awesome.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
This is like the audio version of Rated R. Like, sick.
Oh my god. Dude, the champ was pretty great. Everybody says that there needs to be another champ, but it's like, it's not the champ, it's going to be the people. People need to just change their attitude and just support each other somehow, one way or another. And there's like so many venues out there today where it's like, everybody's struggling just to even get their homies to go to their own show, you know?
Well, that's because, I mean, that's a whole topic for a whole other podcast, yeah, because that's the whole pay-to-play thing, and that capitalizes here in Central PA.
I wouldn't say it's all because of that. I'm not a fan of pay-to-play, but I'm saying, like, I don't think that's the only reason. I'm saying that, like, even people's friends won't even come out to support their friends sometimes.
But that's
you know?
Because the ticket, even in advance, costs $15, and their friend works at, like, McDonald's or whatever. Like, I'm saying, like, when the kids are, like, starting, like, you got, like, you're 17 or 16, 17, you're starting a band, you're like, hey, come out. Like, to me, at 30 years old, $15, I piss it out. Like, here you go. Here's $15 for an advance ticket. It doesn't matter. That does not affect my bills. When you're 16 or 17, you're working a minimum wage job, and your best friend or even one of your good friends is, like, trying to make it in music, $15, that's, like, you're like, shit, dude, that's like gas money for like a week. Like, that's not even a full tank of gas, but that lets me go see my girlfriend. Like,
yeah.
It's a totally different mentality back then. So,
that's true.
And that's why.
That's true. Well, I hate to cut this short. Derek, we would love to have you back on sometime.
Yeah,
you brought some great energy and just great conversation.
Thanks for having me, man.
Dude, thanks for coming. I seriously appreciate it.
Yeah.
We'll talk off air, maybe reschedule something for soon. And
let's do it.
Have you back on. So
I just want to end it with, you never joined Ethics because you stopped responding. Just saying.
All right.
We'll get the facts for the next episode of Derek, and you guys can open it up with that.
You're getting screenshots.
All right. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Like, I want him back just for that.
And you can find it on the darkwithdaniel.com website. By the way, any links or anything like that, we're on every single music scene. Huge shout out. Just dropped my fucking pen. Huge shout out to Rockmail Industries for supporting us here and sponsoring us here at Dark with Daniel. I just said here twice.
You got to get a leash for that pen.
And guys, once again, you can find us.
You're fucking drunk, okay?
Yeah,
so fucking drunk.
I've had a Bud Light and a quarter. No, please go to our website, darkerwithdaniel.com. You can find us on you can find our podcast on every single source on there. It's all listed on there. And Derek, if you want to give us any links to any of your websites or SoundClouds or anything like that you have, you can send it to us and we'll pop it up on there for you. So
will do.
Awesome. Guys, thanks again for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Hit that subscribe button.